Psalm 51, verse 15. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. So far the reading. In the name of our risen Lord, I've been listening recently to large blocks of material at a time from the book of 2 Samuel. I sometimes find that the scriptures make a different impression on my mind in large doses rather than scrutinizing a few verses at a time. The book of 2 Samuel begins right after the death of Israel's first king, King Saul, and it lays out most of the 40-year career of King David. It starts out with the very difficult beginning of David's reign, how he first reigned over just the tribe of Judah from the town of Hebron, while the son of Saul was propped up by military leaders loyal to Saul's family as king over the northern part of Israel. Then little by little, David's power advanced and grew until he reigned over the entire nation and established for himself a new capital city at Jerusalem, and then proceeded to make that city the center of religion for the nation as well as the center of government. He planned to build the temple in Jerusalem, but that was not granted to him by the God of Israel. After securing his throne within the nation of Israel, David proceeded against the foreign enemies all around him. He subdued them to such an extent that he ruled not only the nation of Israel, but an empire that extended from the great river Euphrates in the north to the Sinai Desert in the south. In the midst of his wars against foreign nations, David experienced that tragic lapse into the double crime of taking another man's wife and then trying to cover up his wrongdoing by arranging the death of the man. Then another tragedy took place within the royal family that involved incest, rape, and a murder which avenged the rape. After that sordid affair came to an end, David's son Absalom rose up in open rebellion against his father and forced David to flee for his life from the city of Jerusalem. It took more violence and bloodshed to resolve that situation and to restore David to his throne. Then he had to deal with yet another rebellion against his rule, led by an ambitious rabble-rouser. And again, the resolution of the matter included more bloodshed. When I listen to these stories, one right after the other, the turbulence of David's life is forcibly impressed upon my mind. David was surrounded by people who were filled with jealousy, ambition, and a proclivity toward violence. David himself struggled with powerful impulses that welled up from within him and plunged him into tragedies. There is an old Christian tradition that speaks of the seven deadly sins. Well, you can see at least five of them graphically illustrated in David's history and in his person: pride, covetousness, lust, anger, and envy, to say nothing of the actions that flowed from these things. And yet, David is remembered, to use the biblical expression, as the man after God's own heart. The man after God's own heart. And that expression is a bit jarring, considered against the backdrop of the details of David's biography. The key to sorting these things out is found, among other places, in Psalm 51, the psalm from which our reading for today was taken. This psalm has long been grouped with six other psalms in a category to which a special label has been applied: the penitential psalms, the psalms that deal with themes such as the nature of sin and alienation from God that comes from that sin, genuine sorrow over sin, the forgiveness of sin by the grace of God, faith in that forgiveness, and the reconciliation of God and humankind that results when God's grace is claimed by faith in a human heart. This week in the Christian church year is known as Cantate Week, Cantate Domino Canticum Novum, sing to the Lord a new song. These words from Psalm 98 shout out the theme of the week. King David learned to sing the new song about the grace of God. As a matter of fact, he gave us, by the Spirit's inspiration, the lyrics to dozens of those songs which celebrate the grace of God. The Holy Spirit opened David's lips, and his mouth showed forth the praise of God. He became, to use another biblical expression, the sweet psalmist of Israel. Now, the process by which David learned to show forth the praise of God was a difficult one. And so it is for all who would learn to sing the song of faith in the grace of God. There is only one way to learn to sing about the grace of God, and that is to confront, first of all, the ugly, terrifying reality of what it means to be sinful. The dimensions of that understanding include the following things. First of all, an understanding of the location of evil. It's not just out there somewhere. It's in our hearts, because that which is born of flesh is flesh, and there is none who does good, no, not even one. It includes an understanding of the nature of evil. We are born into this world utterly lacking knowledge of God, fear of God, trust in God. Instead, we have an inclination toward all that stands in opposition to these things. It includes an understanding of the magnitude of evil. Its greatness is such that we are unable to deal with it. It is an enslaving force which cannot be broken by our powers. And we need to acknowledge that we can't understand these things, either by the formal study of psychology or sociology, or by reading the daily newspaper and sighing, "Ain't it awful what's going on out there in the world?" These are things that must be believed concerning ourselves because of the revelation that God gives us in Scripture. David prayed, "O Lord, open my lips." Without the power of God, David's lips were sealed, unable to sing about the grace of God. What welled up from within his heart and expressed itself on his lips and tongue by nature was the very opposite of the praise of God. But what was impossible for David became possible by the grace of God alone. Sinful lips were made to sing the praises of the grace of God. And this, I submit, is the greatest miracle that can happen for any of us. God has dealt with the problem of our alienation from him by the incarnation, life, death, and resurrection of his Son. He gives you all the good things that came from his Son in the gospel. He enables you to believe. He takes your sinful lips and puts his praise on them. The old song of our sin and alienation has ended. The new song has begun. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing it now. Sing it in all your tomorrows, until those tomorrows become an eternity of song. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, you make the minds of the faithful to be of one will. Grant unto your people that they may love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the manifold changes of this world our hearts may always be fixed where true joys are to be found through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.